Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a'a.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does God continue to grow the faith and trust of a committed servant, one that the Lord has saved from a life of drugs, alcohol, and violence? Today, we have the opportunity to visit again with Pastor Guy Capelliella, a big man with a huge heart and a giant-sized love for Jesus. We pause at the beginning of our show thinking of that giant-sized love for Jesus to remind you, dear one, of the giant-sized love that Jesus has for you, that God loves you so much. He sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Pastor Guy Capelliella, and Lani and myself, is reaching out to you. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing, no matter how tough things may be, or how far away you might feel you are from God, there is always hope in Jesus Christ. And it's our prayer that you would open your heart to Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord. Pastor Guy Capelliella is the senior pastor of the God Squad Church, Hawaii. Born and raised in Kailua, he played football for the University of Hawaii and was called into ministry shortly thereafter. He's married to Claudine and is the father of three children. Pastor Guy, welcome back to our show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You've been in ministry and leadership for many years. When were you first called to ministry?
I think it was in the early 80s. I started to get a stirring. I didn't understand it was a calling or stuff. And so I remember one day going up to Pastor Ralph Moore, because he was my pastor and still is. And I started to explain to him this stirring that was inside of me. And, you know, I want to be a fireman. I wanted to be a policeman. I did all the tests, and God kept closing the door, and I was getting a little teed off at God, because I'm like, I'm praying, and you're not giving me what I want. And then all of a sudden, it's, you know, my desires to be in ministry. And I think we're all full-time ministers, but to do it in a way that in leadership and stuff. And so I remember talking with him, and Ralph is very simple in how he explains things. And he says, well, that's good, but what you just got to do is just keep doing what you're doing and be faithful to God. And so, you know, the things started to fall into place. And, you know, I was cleaning bathrooms on Sunday night. And then I got promoted to the children's church with Lisa Kai, the dictator of the ministry. She didn't ask. She, you know, volunteered me and stuff. And so I've set up the children's ministry for about 7 years, and I loved doing it. It was good. And so I just kept doing what God was telling me to do, and God started opening doors one at a time. And so that's kind of how the call came, you know.
So let's take that a little further. It's in the early years of ministry, mm-hmm. as you're processing your calling. What were some of your greatest challenges?
I think my challenge, well, there's a lot of challenges. I think it was being consistent in my walk with the Lord, because I still had outside influences. The Lord was in my heart, but the outside influences would pull and tug a lot of times, and then I would find myself fall into, you know, either doing some drugs or whatever. But it, you know, that was always a challenge because I love my brothers, and I still do. I still love them, but there was a draw that, and I knew that I had to draw the line, and so that was one of them. I think being single was one. I hated being single. You know, I wanted to be married, and you know, to a Christian woman and stuff. So I prayed for that, and nobody loved me for a long time. That's why I married my wife so quick before she find out how I really am. but those were challenges, and you know, fleshly challenges that you know, you struggle with and stuff. So it's just, I think, to sum it all up, is just learning to be consistent in my walk. Not too high, not too low, but just be consistent and move forward and stuff. And so, and I really came down to this. If I stay busy doing the things of the Lord, I'm not going to have time to do the things of the world and stuff. So I got blessed to be around, I don't know if you remember, Pastor Sumo, who passed away recently. Mm-hmm. And just a group of guys that can help me be accountable.
You mentioned Pastor Ralph.
Yeah.
And you just mentioned a group of guys. Who are these group of guys and that kept you steady? I would imagine it was an iron sharpening iron.
Yeah.
Reciprocal, as you were growing, they were growing. Share with us some of who were in these group of guys.
I think, you know, it was really the people that and Hope Chapel Kaneohe was always based on small groups, and so it was these mini churches that we had where I started to meet all these guys like Sumo, Sato, this guy Daryl Hatsuka, Corey Grinder. He was really the guy that really discipled me. John Hano, all of those guys. And so it was like, it wasn't so much a discipleship training. It was living life together, and that we would, like you say, iron sharpens iron, and they would guide me. And, you know, we had a blast. I know me and Sumo are really close, and I would drive him crazy because there's things I didn't know that you're not supposed to do as a Christian or even in church. And so he would just coach me along. But it was really just life, being around life.
Well, one of the I think, endearing and yet endearing, puzzling, and necessary things in church life. One could think that church is church when you see the pastor go up and preach, and you sing a few songs, and you give a opening prayer and a closing prayer, and that's church.
Yeah.
But you mentioned mini church. I know Hope Chapels are known for that.
Yeah.
But this life-on-life experience, talk a little bit more about that and how God used that to form who Guy Capelliola is.
It's so vital to the Christian walk, to be able to have people in your life that's speaking to your life, not only telling you all that you want to hear, but the things that you don't want to hear. And it was just living that way, you know, being around these guys and they're speaking into my life. A lot of them were more mature in the Lord than I was. But I was able to, in some ways, be able to, you know, invest in their life. And that's so important because there's so many believers nowadays, they feel like they can be on the outskirts and walk the Christian life. You cannot. We need each other. It's so important. Even with pastors, you know, as senior pastors, a lot of times we feel isolated. But that's so dangerous. And so we need to be able to have people in our lives that can speak into our lives, even though we're the shepherd, that we let people speak in our lives.
And Lonnie, as I'm listening and watching Pastor Guy, I'm thinking about the cumulative years. Now we're talking decades of relationship with the group of guys.
Yeah.
Some have become pastors, some missionaries, some in the corporate world. But the collective depth of trust and understanding that has been gained, it's a contrast, isn't it, to solo Christianity, someone trying to fly on their own, yeah. sometimes by the seat of their pants yeah. on their own, and no interaction yeah. or very little interaction.
Yeah,
I think that, you know, it's so good you talk about that, but it is interesting to see so many people of faith that are struggling to go deeper with the Lord. You know, everybody says, I want to go deeper with the Lord. Let me open my Bible. How do I do that? You know, but it's the simple thing of being in relationship with others
yeah.
and being vulnerable to be held accountable. I think there's two parts to that.
Yeah.
Speak to us about how, especially for men, you know, the world wants you to be independent, wants you to mm-hmm. be a leader. How can you, or how do you, I want to use the word convince, encourage, especially men, to be involved in that small group, to be vulnerable in that space?
I think you got to model it. First and foremost, you got to be able to let them see that there's, you know, people in my life that's doing that. It's difficult these days. I mean, from 10 years ago, it's so difficult mm-hmm. because men are so busy. And they're busy doing something good, but they're not, the priority is off. You know, it's the working, it's the other things that, other than God. I did a message a couple of months ago about God first. God got to be first. And if he's first, then you got to realize, I need brothers in my life. You know, I cannot fight this battle alone. And I mentioned, we talked earlier about Danny Gueb, Pastor Danny Gueb at Hope Chapel Kona. I mean, we were really tight as well. And we were there when we stumbled and, you know, helping each other up and stuff. And today he's a pastor. In fact, our mini church that we had under Corey Grinder, almost every of the guys that were in that group where he just really poured into us are pastors today.
Wow.
And it's amazing from, you know, this one man, this not going through a book or anything, but just using life to be our you know, our training tool. And
you mentioned the word stumble.
Yeah.
We stumble together. This is an area where I think there's some misperceptions mm-hmm. about stumbling. And what I mean, we'll talk more about that when we come back from our break, but some react when stumbling is the instinctive reaction is to isolate.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anybody to see that I stumble.
Yeah.
But stumbling together is something I think we have to talk about.
Yeah.
Could it be, dear friend, as we share in this moment with you, Pastor Guy, Lonnie, myself, with you, dear one, that it is God's design for us to stumble together? You say, well, what do you mean stumble? Ought we not to be living the sublime Christian life, aiming for true holiness? Well, as I look at Pastor Guy, and as I'm hearing him, could it be that true holiness can only be through stumbling together? When we come back, stay with us. We'll share more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests. You know, sometimes when you're with certain people, you can let your guard down.
Yeah.
And I know, sometimes you feel fully relaxed. But I think perhaps nowadays, in many circumstances, one might feel like, you know, you've got to put out your best. And I think it's okay. I mean, you don't want to put out your worst all the time, hang out dirty laundry. I'm not saying that. But there's certain people, when you're with them, there's a feeling of safety. Mm-hmm. Pastor Guy Capelliella is one of those. Mm-hmm. Dear men of God. Whenever I encounter him, it's like it's this experience, this grace that God, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, emanates. It's the Spirit of Christ that makes me feel safe. Mm-hmm. Be who you are in the Lord, and the Lord is forming you. And I see Lanika nodding her head. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Pastor Guy Capelliella in studio with us today. You can find out more about God Squad Church Hawaii at GodSquadChurchHawaii.com, dynamic ministry that has lasted and has grown, and God, by His grace, is through process of growth and renewal, the church has evolved in a dynamic way. Again, Pastor Guy Capelliella, GodSquadChurchHawaii.com. To find out more about this program, go to TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. Pastor Guy, let's speak a little bit more to that. Let's say, Lonnie, during the break, you mentioned about, just take us back to this idea.
Right. We were talking about, you know, the walk of faith, mm-hmm. and how everyone wants to see a victory. And I recently heard from a pastor that, you know, in order to have a victory, there has to be a battle. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to, or willing to, be in a battle. And what we're really talking about today is we have to be in a battle together. We can't battle life alone.
Yep.
You emulate that. I agree with Danny that there's no judgment when you're sitting with somebody, with yourself. And I feel like we're all called to be that way.
Yeah.
And in that environment, we can do life together.
Yeah.
And I think that's an ingredient, that's a must, the non-judgment of our brothers and sisters, that we might be able to be vulnerable and be lifted up and know that they are not going to run away and they are always going to be there. Talk a little bit more about your time, you know, in small groups, your effort with your church and how it's evolved from a small group.
You know, I think maturity, you know, gaining maturity in the Lord is you got to be able to just deal with the realities of life as a Christian. You know, we still have the flesh inside of us. There's such a pull and tug that goes on with the battle, the constant battle between the flesh and the spirit, you know, that's constant. And I think you only can really find true victory when you live it out with somebody else, because there's times where we stumble and they pick us up. And when they stumble, I pick them up. Or we both stumble and we help each other to get back up. But that's all a process of becoming mature. and we see God's grace being poured upon us even in our lowest times, that strengthens your faith. That is, you experience God's love, and so you begin to help each other to grow. And you know, and that's so true. You cannot have victory without a battle, and we're in a constant battle. And I think all believers got to understand we're constantly dealing with this war that's going on within us and our flesh and our spirit and stuff. And man, if you don't have people around you, that's going to be tough, because you got nobody to, nobody got your back, because you're not allowing anybody to get your back.
Someone says, but Pastor Guy, you don't understand. Tongue in cheek, because I've over 30 years of ministry, but they say, you don't understand. I'm an introvert.
Exactly.
You know, this is not me, you know?
Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, I usually say, too bad. This is part of the Christian life. It's like, it's not about being an introvert or whatever. It's about what God wants to do with you. And he never created us to be lone rangers. The only way we're going to grow is with one another. And you don't have to have a crowd around you, but you got to have a couple close friends that you really are vulnerable to. You really can open up to. They know everything about you, and they have permission to call you on the carpet when necessary. Mm-hmm. That's so important.
Okay, so with that, someone says, okay, I hear that, but you don't know what I went through.
Yeah.
I tried that
yeah.
with somebody yeah. in church. And you know what, we made progress, we were close. And they stop right there. Why? Because there's a wound that took place that's in there, hasn't healed, may not heal.
Yeah.
But at least in the way that they are or they're going. Pastor, what would you say in that situation?
I think if you really look deep into it and honestly look at it, it's unforgiveness. It's really not even what the person did to you, but it's your inability to want to release it. And that unforgiveness is such a major hook that Satan uses. And anytime anything similar to that comes up, you feel that anguish, you feel that junk feeling inside, and it begins to just control your life. And so what's happening is you cannot be what God wants you to be, because you've got this hook inside of you. And anytime you try, God will pull it. So there's fear that comes from that. There's resentment. There's so much. It's like a root sin that births all these other sins. And so, it, you know, that's such a key area, is that people going to hurt us, mm-hmm. you know, but hurt people hurt people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got to get past that, because that's what keeps so many Christians in bondage to being all that God wants them to be, because they cannot release that. Even in my own life, even as a senior pastor, and I know that you probably experienced where, you know, people have done things and said things that are real painful. And I can tell when I'm carrying that and I'm not letting it go, because mm-hmm. things just don't work out, you know. And God gets you in the corner and goes, you got to let this go. Mm-hmm. You got to turn them over to me. And that's part of the battle with the flesh and the spirit. And that's the importance, is somebody will pretty much speak into my life and go, you know what, I think Ross did that one time, mm-hmm. and I didn't like it. I want to hit him for doing that, but he brought something out that he recognized. Ross Yamasaki brought out something that he recognized that I was dealing with that I didn't want to see. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this is so important, to have people in your life, even if you're an introvert. And because I can be a loner. I like my alone time, but I can't survive without people in my life.
So where does pride come in, mm-hmm. With unforgiveness or living a kind of secret, covert yeah. Christian life? Because yeah. it's kind of safe there. Nobody really knows me.
Yeah.
I'm kind of a mysterious person, mystical in some ways, kind of spiritual. Safe? Where does pride come in with some of that?
I think forgiveness is pride. It's like saying, I don't need any or unforgiveness is pride. I don't need anybody to help me walk. We all need people to walk in. Just feeling like we can do it on our own and be that lone ranger. And, you know, I heard people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Mm. Yeah, but you're not going to grow. You need other believers. Who are you going to minister to? Because that's really what it comes down to, is what we're giving out, not just what we're receiving. And so, you know, I think just feeling like we don't need anybody else, that's this one sign of pride.
Recently, what has the Lord, or how has the Lord been speaking to you in this season of your life?
I think the past 3 years, I've been really struggling with the church that I grew up in, the paradigm. I need a paradigm shift. That's what I'm feeling like the Spirit's saying. And I'm realizing that, and I had a conversation with Pastor Corey Grinder, and we were talking at an airport in L.A., and he told me this. He said, if we keep doing church the way we always done, we're going to lose our influence. Mm-hmm. And what he was talking about is how the focus is so much about filling our buildings with people. But when I read the Great Commission, it's about filling our communities with the church. And it's not just about going church. It's about being the church. And that's been in my heart, is how do I get our people to take what they receive on Sunday and apply it in their lives? And that's been really pressing on my heart about being the ecclesia and being the church 24/7.
Well, you're hearing it straight from the heart, Pastor Guy Capelliola, sharing his story. These things are happening right now, things that are on his heart. A spiritual tension, a tension that comes to bear in a point of conflict, as it were, with the Word, the Scripture, and culture, church culture, and the broader culture and society in which we live. Tension indeed. Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back. You say, Danny, what is the Christian life? Is it smooth sailing? Are there mountain peaks? Well, of course. Are there valleys? Well, of course. But sometimes at the top and on the bottom, somewhere in the middle, there's points of tension. And these points of tension could also be signs of health. You say, really? Health? Yes. Does it bring you to prayer? Bring you into fellowship? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
He started at Hope Chapel Kaneohe. He's been the pastor of Hope Chapel Olomana, and now he's pastoring in Kapolei, God Squad Church, Hawaii.com. I'm speaking of none other than Pastor Guy Kapeliela. You can find out more about his dynamic ministry, God Squad Church, Hawaii.com. Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Lani Ka'a. Thanks for joining with us today. This is a heart-to-heart. I mean, we get down and talk about the things that really matter in life, that really matter in the body of Christ, the church. And it's not, this is not a denominational thing. We're talking about church at large, the body of Christ at large. So, Pastor Guy, as we speak about this tension, as before we went to break, how deep is this tension really, and why do you feel it?
I think we're losing our influence by being so ingrown, and it's creating a mentality, from what I see, of it's church is something that we attend, something that we go to. It's almost like we look for the church like looking for a luxury car. I want, you know, the AC. I want the comfortable seats, and really it creates this spectator kind of mindset of I go there, I get to sit, it's comfortable, I get entertained, and I'm not trying to speak against any of those.
I love
kind
the
of approach.
Worship and I like the preaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But now what do we do with it? You know, and we so many are receiving that, but they do nothing throughout the week to really be the church, because that's what it's meant to be, you know. And I used to always say that, you know, the church is the locker room, but actually it's the practice field. This is where we learn and we start to apply, and as we serve in the church, but more so it's what we do outside of the church. And that's why I've been, God's been showing me some things that I'm starting to birth now in terms of getting our people to go out and start to gather their unchurched friends and family, have a meal, talk about Jesus, talk about the notes that we had or whatever God's putting on. It's no different than a mini church, but with unbelievers. And we got a couple that has just started launching. One is a guy who's a judo instructor, and he's doing it in such a way where the level that each kid is at, you got the Paul, the Barnabas, the Timothy, kind of uses biblical terms without preaching to them, but at the whole time they'll pray, and he'll just really speak into the family's life. And I told him, that's what it is. That, you know, you're being the church, you're taking what you're receiving here, and you're pouring it into people who probably never walk into a church, you know. And so my heart is whatever way works, you know. There's no real structure, but just get out there and gather your friends. You know, we all have friends that don't know Jesus, and, you know, spend time, take them to lunch. You know, it could be a lunch break that you have church, but just that mindset of knowing that I'm the church 24/7 wherever I go. And I could be working out in the gym, and that's church. God put me there so that I can look for the opportunities to minister, build relationship, because that's so key, is the relationships. So it's just a stirring that's inside of me that that even keeps me from even attending certain conferences, because I'm trying to change my mindset, because that's my default. I'll always go back to the what we do inside the church kind of thing. And I'm struggling to keep my mindset. Mm-hmm. No, we got to send them out.
I'm wondering, Lani, if the things that he's sharing, Pastor Guy Kapeliela is sharing, are, again, signs of health. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's identifying what you see as points of very deep tension because it comes against what you're reading in the Word, mm-hmm. or what you see exemplified in the life of Christ and in disciples. It's almost like a refashioning again mm-hmm. in a new era.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That has to happen again. It's going to, it doesn't, I don't know if it ever stops happening.
Yeah.
This, because culture evolves, the church with the same message and the same commission, almost refashioning.
Yeah.
Have you seen that in the multiple decades that you?
I think so. I used to hear Ralph always talk about the Jesus movement, and then how he kind of broke the mold when he allowed people to come with jeans and T-shirts, and that was kind of like forbidden. And so there's just this constant evolving on how you reach the communities, how you reach the generation for today, mm-hmm. and it's so different. That's one thing that I understand is. Church and the people in the church are so different than from 10 years ago. But you can fight it or you can figure out one way to really minister to them. People are so busy. So how do we reach them in their busyness? And a lot of times it ain't going to be on Sunday.
I've always grappled with this because everywhere I look in the Word, wherever religion was happening in a church, in a building, wasn't where Jesus was. And he would go there, but he wouldn't live in that. Where he lived was outside. Where he ministered was outside, place to place, people to people, growing the church outside the synagogue and the building. And yet today, the very structure of Christianity is built around physical structures. And the more, a church can buy a lot and build a cement, the better they are for some reason. And I don't mean that badly about anyone who's done that, but I always question that because I look at the Word and the way that Jesus did his ministry growth really conflicts with that concept. And so I feel like we've gone one way and now we're peeling back the very things and structures and mindsets and culture that we built into what was simply going out and doing the Great Commission. Does that make sense?
And I think evolving is not throwing the baby out with the bathwater because it has to evolve. But I think there needs to be a directing towards, okay, people, we got Jesus. Mm-hmm. We got the Word. Mm-hmm. Let's go apply it because that's what God said. Go and make disciples, not stay in the building and wait till they come in. And so I think there's such a need for the structure we live in now because that's basically empowering them, encouraging them. But there's that second part where it's like, what are we going to do Tuesday or Monday through Saturday with what we got? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the evolving.
In this evolving, you talk about, people are busy, perhaps busier than they ever were before. And of course, with busyness in terms of activity, there also may be a parallel busyness in the mind, where the mind is racing perhaps more than the processing of information and technology. So how, Pastor Guy, how do we reach someone today in the 21st century now?
I think my heart is we got to go where they're at and not wait till they come where we're at. And they're all over the place. I'm going to walk out these doors and there's going to be opportunities that, I had a real amazing experience. And just kind of a long answer, but amazing experience. I usually go on a retreat and I like to go to Waikiki because in the evenings I'll go down and sit and just pray and just ask God, just show me what's happening in the world. I want to know what the need is and what people are fighting with. And I remember sitting there one day and this prostitute came up and, tried to get me to go with her and stuff. And I said, oh, no. And I showed her my ring. I'm married. And then, we just were having a conversation because that's my heart. I love speaking to people where I used to be. And so she said, oh, what do you do? And I said, well, I'm a pastor. And she went, whoa. And she kind of looked at me waiting for the judgment. And so she's looking at me for a while, and then she goes, "You're not going to judge me?" And I said, "No." And she goes, "Why?" I go, I wasn't always a pastor. I understand, you know. And just the grace that God shows me to show, because I've been in that place where people would judge and stuff. And I said, "I'm not going to judge you, you know. I don't agree with you." You know, and we just had a conversation. And she left there. She wouldn't let me pray for her, but she left there. And I knew there was a seed planted in her. And so this past week, I actually was at my retreat again. I was down there, and I saw her. And, you know, she didn't come up and talk to me, but she waved. But it's those little seeds, because I don't know who else is going to water her that seed, you know. And the sad part was, I was fearful of what maybe another Christian would have thought if they saw me. And I was like, but this is what Jesus did. He was with the tax collectors and stuff. And but, you know, that to me, that really put more turmoil in me when that happened. And I was like, that's when I'm trying to help people understand this is what church is, where this opportunity was there. And I believe God did something in her heart. I don't know if that answered your question.
Well, there's an underlying theme or sense that I gather. You in a way you put yourself out there, and you put your reputation out there.
Yeah.
There's a risk, especially in this generation today.
Yeah.
You're a high-profile minister. Your mind could have raced a million ways, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But you did. Not everyone would have done that, given the same situation. Because we got to cover ourselves.
Yeah.
Here's another.
Some shouldn't. I would say in that situation, because they may struggle with the temptation,
right?
Yeah,
that or ministers or Christians, where we, and this is where I'm leaning, where we cover ourselves maybe too much.
Yeah,
it's a gray area. I'm not saying it's either or.
We're just
dwelling now in this gray area, but maybe we should talk about the gray area.
Yeah, yeah.
And talk about some of the challenges that go. At what point do we just go for it for the Lord?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At what point is it wise to step back?
Yeah.
There's not a clear answer to it.
Yeah.
But are we even at the point of having that tension?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps we should be having more tension.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We'll talk a little bit more with Pastor Guy Capelliella when we come back. See, Lonnie, this is one of those things where when you have a person like him, Pastor Guy, of his stature and years of respect and admiration because of the dedication to the Lord and God's sustaining grace in every way, physically, emotionally, spiritually, to have a conversation like we're having today. Dear friend, you're listening. You're with us. You're in our hearts. God knows what He's speaking to you in this time. May we all gain strength, serve Him even better. Stay with us. We'll be back.
The road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kayani Team Aloha, has seen Kayani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kayani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kayani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042. 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests. Well, it doesn't
guests.
Always happen. Once in a while it happens when we're having a conversation during our break and we're thinking we should be recording this. We should make this available for our dear listeners because we couldn't stop talking about the tension, mm-hmm. right? Pastor Guy, mm-hmm. Lonnie, you're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. If you're tuning in right now, you're saying, Danny, wait, what are you talking about? The tension. Well, we're talking about the tension of the gray area in the life of a Christian. At what point do you step over a line which is this gray area line where you can justify it or back it up biblically, scripturally, one way or what? At what point do you refrain? You might be saying, Danny, you're still speaking in cryptic terms. get to the point. Well, that's why Pastor Guy and Lonnie are here. What are we talking about here when we talk about this tension, this struggle? Pastor Guy.
I think just kind of what Lonnie was sharing about, there can be tension even on the subject we're talking about because of the relationships we have with those who are very successful, in how modern church is done today. And just to make sure that we're not stepping on toes and stuff. And so that's a tension in itself because some may believe how we're doing it is the way, but I think, you know, we got to get beyond. I think there's a point where you just got to not worry about what other people are going to think. Mm-hmm. And it's the conviction. Like for me, this area right now is a conviction. It's something God put on my heart. And I'm not going to say that every other pastor needs to do this, but this is something God put on my heart. And, you know, this is part of my journey that God's doing. And it's hard because my mindset always goes back to that, how I always done it and stuff. And so I think that's tension in itself, mm-hmm. but, you know, worrying about, mm-hmm. what people will think, like I shared speaking to this woman and stuff. And in the back of my mind, I'm wondering, what if somebody sees me and what are they going to think and da da da. And that broke my heart because it's like, you know, that could happen, but, you know, this is more important. Mm-hmm. The soul is more important, you know, and
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about being the church Monday through Saturday,
yeah.
and not going to the church on Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
That really was the genesis of what we're talking about. How do you be the church Monday through Saturday? And there needs to be a culture shift in Christian, in the way we do our faith, the way yeah. we live out our faith, that we don't go somewhere to get entertained
yeah.
and fed.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Yeah.
But then how do we do that without fear
yeah.
of condemnation or as Jesus did
yeah.
from Monday through Saturday? And what you did with the prostitute in Waikiki, could have been misconstrued, all the available social media and the things and the eyes that are out there on us all the time now. There is a concern, and it's real, that there could be a misrepresentation of your intent.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when do we lay that that concern aside and take the risk?
Yeah.
Because Jesus said to go out and make disciples and save souls. When do we say that risk is worth taking?
Where does a moment of reflection, and maybe these moments like you're talking about in Waikiki, is a moment that came that you either reflected on after or reflected on something before? And maybe this is a moment of reflection because you were moved to continue in the dialogue, regardless of what may happen. Who might take a peek? Hey, that's Pastor Guy. Where does searching our own hearts come in the place of making this decision? Where does motivation come? The question, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why would I do this? Why am I doing this? Why would I take a risk? Where does that question come into play?
I think conviction. 'Cause there was no... There was the thought of what people would think, but it didn't bring any kind of hesitation to do what I needed to do. It's because the conviction inside of my heart of what I know God is stirring inside of me, my passion. I love being able to talk to people, you know, who are in that lifestyle, not only the prostitute, but the drug person. There was a couple of the druggy guys that were next. I bought them hamburgers and I'm starting to create a friendship with them because they're always there. But I do it because it's a conviction inside of me. I'm not trying to win points by with anybody. God's just stirring inside of me. Maybe it's a blessing but a curse at the same time. I don't really process it too much. I just go and do it. But sometimes that can be the worst thing you can do because you didn't think it through. Mm-hmm. And I've done that a whole lot of times. But I think it's a conviction. But knowing that there's a safety line. My wife knew I was and what I do. I actually called her up right after and said, honey, I got to minister to this prostitute. My staff knows. I shared the story with my church so that they would understand, there's a concern too, what people would perceive, but it's like, it's the accountability. Because you talk about it, then people know you're not really trying to hide it. But I didn't do it specifically for that. I did it so that they would understand the vision and what God's really calling us to do. And sometimes it causes us to be, we got to get dirty, and not that the woman was dirty, it's just, the ministry can be dirty, and we got to be willing to sit with people who haven't showered for a week or a month and just talk with them, and that's actually really my passion, to just be where those guys are broken, because I know what it's like to be, close to that.
Well, as you're sharing this, Pastor Guy, I'm thinking about a dear listener right now, and I want to say this. Dear friend, what about you? Where are you in this? We're not giving any answer, this is how to do it. We're just talking. But we're talking about a vital subject. What about you? But before you say, Danny, it's just about the other person. No, I'm going to ask myself, what about me too?
Mm-hmm.
Where am I in this? Mm-hmm. Where do I say I'm being challenged? Have I played it safe? Oh, yes, I have played it safe. Live to play another day, so to speak, right? But at what point will I have a conviction? And there's a point where even conviction, Pastor Guy, gets blind.
Yeah.
Because you become myopic.
Yeah.
You're not analyzing anymore. You're not thinking. You've already committed and you're going.
Yeah.
Trusting, but not analyzing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So what about me? Dear friend, as I ask myself that, I ask, well, what about you?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I should say it this way, Lonnie and Pastor Guy. What about us as believers? Pastor Guy, is there a guiding scripture in this area that the Lord continues to speak to you about?
I keep hearing the commission to go and make disciples, and He'll show you when and how, and you know, and it's simple. That's why I embrace it, because it's a simple scripture. It's basically, He's telling us exactly what we're supposed to do, and just my heart is to just try and help as many people to find Jesus like me, because I think about God, why you save me for? And in fact, one of the times that God called me was I was sitting on this bench looking out at Kaneohe Bay and realizing that right below where I was sitting was where one of my friends, and I introduced him to freebasing, and he's gone. He died because of that. And I'm sitting there, and this whole thing came together, and it was just like, and I just broke down, and I just said, God, why me? Why did you save me? Why you didn't save that guy? I was the one that got him in it. And I heard God say it clear, because I get one work for you to do. And sometimes I didn't realize how hard the work would be. But I thank God He has a work for me, you know. And so I want to reach as many people as I can. That's why I became a pastor, is I want to give back what I took away before I knew the Lord. So,
someone in this moment, we've got about 30 seconds left, is in that place similar to where you are. Why me? Why am I still here? Pastor Guy, can you lead us in a closing prayer for this dear person?
Yes. Lord, we just come now, and I just pray, Father, that Your Spirit would speak over these airways, Lord, and would penetrate to so many souls. I pray, Father God, that there be divine appointments, and that You would speak to the heart, and that in those hearts, Lord, that You would create a passion and a conviction that we have something to offer. You don't make junk. And that all of us have something to offer. It's not about how much education or what we did or what we didn't do. It's the opportunity in the moment that You give us, that we would be the best that we could be for You, Lord. Not for anybody else, but You, Lord. I pray that You would awaken the Spirit in every single heart so that we can win people in Hawaii over to Jesus, Lord. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Inspiring words from Pastor Guy Kapeliela, GodSquadChurchHawaii.com. Dear friend, hey, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is the perfect moment to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Well, then go to thegoodlifeway.com, click Get to Know Jesus. We've got a special presentation for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, to make a donation, your financial support, go to thegoodlifeway.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Ezekiel 36:26 promises, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Pastor Guy Kapeliela, GodSquadChurchHawaii.com. Until next time, along with my co-host, Lani Ka'a, guest coordinator, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.